produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to our program, God Can, presented by Pastor Stanley Moodley, Senior Pastor at Faith Center Ministries International. This program will give you practical tips and foundational biblical principles to propel your life to new heights with Jesus Christ. Listen in now with your host, Pastor Stanley Moodley.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And we say welcome to church. Our theme for the year, as you already know, is It is Time to Seek the Lord. This morning I start with a new series, as we do almost every year. During this time, talk about the passion of the Christ. The passion of the Christ given to us in this one verse that describes the passion. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe therein lies the passion of the Christ. For God so loved. The Apostle Paul wrote about the gospel's mystery, revealed through Christ and his death on the cross. Irenaeus, a second century church father, described it when he explained, by means of a tree, we were made debtors to God. Likewise, by means of a tree, the cross, we can obtain the remission of our debt. Beyond glorious art, ancient history, and intriguing anecdotes, the cross stands as a symbol of salvation. For the reason beyond my comprehension, the mighty God stooped to conquer evil and forgive sin. This is his eternal commitment. This is the inexpressible value and the mystery of the cross coming to us in the passion of the Christ. And I want us to know today, unless we know the cross, we will know the Savior. If we do not know the cross, we will not know the Christ, because it is the Christ of the cross that has brought us here today. It's the passion of the cross. Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter, you can read from verse number 1 to verse 60 onwards. But I just want to quote a few verses. Matthew 27, 26. The word simply says, then they crucified him. They crucified Jesus. So in the passion of the Christ, in this series, we will talk about the crucifixion, the resurrection, the road that leads to Calvary, and how he was raised on the cross. There are a few questions that we would have to answer. Who is Christ to me? Who is Christ? What does Christ mean to you, church? What does his death on the cross mean to you? And so he was raised on a cross, and a title was fixed indicating who it was who was being executed. Painful it is to say, but more terrible not to say. He who suspended the earth is suspended. He who fixed the heavens is fixed. He who fastened all things is fastened to the wood. The master is outraged. God is murdered. And I quote the Melito of Sardis. Now you can appreciate why Jesus died unless you understand how he died. Unless you begin to understand the roots to his death. In the opening session of the series, I've pointed you to 8 prophecies from the Old Testament that was fulfilled. In fact, there are 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that refers to the Messiah, and every one of them was fulfilled. Now, when you begin to appreciate why Jesus died, how he died, and why he died, then you will understand salvation. Then you will understand the reason for the bleeding and the dying on the Jericho Road. Now, he was scourged. Scourging or flogging was the legal preliminary to every Roman execution. The victim was stripped naked and tied to a flogging post. The instrument was a short whip called a flagrum, which was a short whip made of 2 or 3 leather thongs connected to a handle. These thongs were braided with pieces of sheep bone, metal and iron attached at various levels. The back, the buttocks, and the legs were flogged, and with each blow, flesh would be torn away, exposing the muscles until his entire back and his back was brought to almost nothing but quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. Almost every victim would go into what was called an hypovolemic shock. Now, an hypovolemic shock occurs when a person has suffered the loss of a large amount of blood. The heart tries to pump blood that isn't there. The blood pressure drops. The kidneys stop producing urine to maintain what volume of blood is left, and a person becomes very, very thirsty. Craving fluids to make up for the lost blood volume, all of which you see clearly happening to Jesus before he was even crucified, recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. In other words, Jesus was already in a critical condition before he was nailed to the cross. For those of us who have watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ, that was produced by Mel Gibson, it is said that this movie does not do justice to the actual happenings of the day. He was brutally murdered. No other form of capital punishment has ever been invented in history that is more cruel and torturous than the crucifixion. It was so terrible that only slaves, foreigners, and the vilest of criminals were crucified. The victim was laid on a cross beam, then spikes that were 5 inches long and tapered to a razor-sharp point were driven through the wrist of both arms. This would lock the hand. Now, if the nails had been driven through the palms, as we so often see, the weight would have caused the skin to tear and the victim would have fallen off the cross. So the nails went through the wrist. When that nail was driven through what is known as the median nerve, which is the largest nerve going to the hand, it would have been crushed by that nail. The shooting pain of both arms would have been absolutely unbearable and never ending. Church, as we begin in these next few weeks, discover the passion of the Christ as to the who, the why, and the what. We'll begin to understand the meaning of our salvation, because unless we know the cross, unless we discover the cross, we will never truly understand our salvation. Furthermore, the moment the victim was lifted up to the vertical beam because of his weight, both shoulders would immediately have become dislocated, causing even further excruciating pain. Then the feet would have been fixed to the cross. And again, 7-inch spikes would have been driven through both feet and knees. And the knees would have bent to the right to make sure the pain to the legs and the hips were at a maximum. Once in that crucified position, the victim would begin to die a slow, torturous death by exhaustion. The reason is the stresses on the muscles and the diaphragm put the chest into a permanent inhaled position, so that while the victim could draw air into his lungs, he was powerless to exhale. This is where the real torture began. Because in order to exhale, the individual had to push up on his feet and pull up with his arms just so he could exhale. The pain was absolutely unbelievable. Those who have been through COVID-19 and have been diagnosed, some will testify of the difficulty of exhaling or breathing. To some, it was torturous. I want to breathe. Picture the Son of the Living God. Picture the Christ. The pain was unbelievable. Then after managing to exhale, the person would relax and go down so he could take in another breath. To be able to keep breathing, the victim on the cross had to stay in constant motion, literally dragging himself up, then letting himself down. Every time he did it, his arms, his legs, and his entire body screamed with pain. Nerves pulled tightly like the strings on a violin. Keep in mind that every time he dragged himself up and down, the painful scourging wounds on his back would be scraped against the rough wood of that cross, opening up more fresh wounds, causing more loss of blood and even more excruciating pain, what finally caused the death of the Christ. The death of the Messiah. Church, I bring this to you as an introduction as to what we will go through in the next few weeks. More importantly, so that we would discover the purpose of Christ's appearance on the face of the earth. That he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the price that he paid was beyond compare. Doctors would say, take your pick. Hypothermic shock, exhaustion, dehydration, and congestive heart failure. In fact, death by crucifixion was so terrible that a new word was invented to describe it. The word excruciating, which comes from the Latin word meaning out of the cross. Out of the cross. You have to ask the question, why would the Messiah, the Son of God, have to die such a violent, terrible, excruciating death? Why would the Son of God have to take this cause? Church, just to show his love. Just to bring the John 3:16 to reality. That for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That he could die so we could no longer die. Church, he took our place. so that we don't have to die anymore. Christ died, gave his life. As we look at a view from eternity on the cross, why should I, who have been living from all eternity in the enjoyment of the Father's love, go to cast myself into such a furnace for them that never can require me for it? Why should I yield myself to be thus crushed by the weight of divine wrath for them who have no love to me and are my enemies? They do not deserve any union with me, and never did, and never will do anything to recommend themselves to me. I quote John Edwards. Crucifixion was the order of the day. It was the practice of the Romans. The Roman practice of crucifixion will remain as one of the most gruesome, humiliating, and altogether obscene methods of execution the world has ever known. So horrible was it. In fact, that the sophisticated and cultured people in the Greek and Roman societies would not even utter the word cross in polite company. That was a reviled word. And it's referred to an even more reviled and hated form of death. Crucifixion in the Roman world was never a private event. It was always raw, open, and searingly public. It had to humiliate the victim. That's because its entire purpose was to terrify the masses into submission to the authorities. The Romans made sure that crosses holding the broken, writhing bodies of the dying or the rotting corpses of the dead frequently lined the main roads into cities. They even scheduled mass public crucifixions to coincide with civic and religious festivals in order to ensure that the maximum number of people would witness the horror. Murderers, robbers, traitors, and especially slaves were crucified brutally by the thousands all over the empire and always in full public view. The scripture is very plain. First of all, he died for my sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, we have all, I read from the Message Bible, we have all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we have done wrong on him. All our sins, all our iniquities, everything we have done wrong, gone on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, that we could be made right through God with Christ. The passion of the Christ is all about God's reconciliation with man. But man, who was created by God in the image and likeness, who turned away from God into a life of sin and godlessness. And Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. The curse for our wrongdoing. Certain denominations during this time of the year observe what they call is Lent, a 40-day of fasting and prayer. And I went through and did some research on the Lent. In fact, the word Lent actually means repent. Repent. That when you fast and pray during this time, actually, they repent of their sins. When I started this 40-day of fasting and prayer, some people have had questions about as to what is pastor's belief, what is the doctrine of the church. I want us to know today, church, we believe in Creator God. We believe in the virgin birth of God's Son. We believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And we believe that he is coming back again. In a nutshell, that's our belief system. That's our belief statement. We will never deter from the truth. But some things have become a denominational. Some things have become doctrinal. But we believe in every word that comes out of this Holy Bible. Amen? So if we call to a time of fasting and prayer, we're not changing our doctrine. We're not changing our belief system. It's basically, Lent means repent. It's a time for us to fast and pray and repent of our sins. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you don't have to repent. I'm a sinner, so I repent. Amen? Paul says, I have sinned and I've come short of the glory of God. But I do realize the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Yes, praise God. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried away our sins in his body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Hallelujah. So you need to understand that more awful than the pain of physical suffering that Jesus endured was the spiritual pain of bearing the guilt for our sins. He not only died for our sins, he died in place of a sinner such as I. Romans 5:6 says, when we were truly or utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 says, he died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteousness or the unrighteous to bring you to God. Now, what does all of this mean? Simply, this took Jesus on the cross. What you will have to take for all eternity. If you don't take Jesus, he died such a violent death to illustrate just how horrible sin is, how holy God is, and how much we needed him to die in our place for our sins. First question, who is Jesus to me? Second question, why did he die? The third question, what am I to do? A non-Christian hearing this message of seeing the passion of the Christ could rightly ask, so what? What am I supposed to do about this? Let's face facts, church. How could any person worship God or as a dead man if he had indeed been justly condemned as a criminal and subjected to the most humiliating form of execution? That kind of death, crime and shame doesn't even deserve our respect, let alone our worship. So what am I to do about it? It all depends on another statement in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. No serious historian doubts that a man named Jesus Christ lived, that his life impacted history, and that he was crucified on a Roman cross outside of Jerusalem around 30 AD. But the Christian claim goes much further than that. It says that Jesus not only died, but he was resurrected, church. And let me tell you why this is so crucial. No mere human being can come back from the dead of his own power. Because if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then he was not just a man. He was God in the flesh. I'm not going to give you all of the evidence though it is massive, and all the proofs, though there are many, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And I'm just going to make this statement. Over 2,000 years, church, and counting, no one has tried to refute the fact that the tomb is empty. Hallelujah. The fact of the empty tomb caused a great uproar in Palestine. We not only know this from the New Testament, but also from history. An ancient decree of Claudius Caesar, who reigned from 41 to 54 AD, was found by archaeologists in Assyria and reads, it is my pleasure that graves and tombs remain perpetually undisturbed. In case of violation, I desire that the offender be sentenced to capital punishment on charge of violation of the sepulchre. Historians believe that the unusual step decreeing the death penalty simply for robbing a grave was a reaction to the uproar caused by the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. No attempt was ever been made to prove that the body of Jesus Christ is still in the tomb. The empty tomb is an obvious fact that no one has ever tried to refute. Do you know why? It was open and available for everyone to inspect. It couldn't be hidden and it couldn't be ushed, so it had to be explained. That is a fact you have to reckon with. That tomb has been empty for more than 2,000 years ago, which is why Arnold Toynbee, the British historian, said, if the body of one Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, can be produced, then Christianity will crumble into a lifeless religion. He was exactly right, but there is only one problem. They haven't found the body. They cannot find the body, and they won't find the body, because he has risen from the dead and he lives in me, church. Without the last 2 minutes of that film, The Passion is just another movie about another man who lived and died just like billions of other people in history. But the rest of the story is the crucified Christ of the first 2 hours and 5 minutes of that movie is the risen Lord of the last 2 minutes of that movie. Only God could come back from the grave and come back from the dead. So yeah, is it, church? And what you must do, and you have only two choices. Receive him as your Lord, or he will reject you as a sinner. You will determine the rest of the story. And church, I want us to know today, it's because of the passion of the Christ that we could be here today. That we could say, I am redeemed, I am saved, I am healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will continue with this in the weeks to come. The passion of the Christ. And if you need a special prayer wherever you are this morning, you want to take Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and as your Lord and ask him for the forgiveness of your sin, you're most welcome, church. Christ is the answer for the world today. There is none like him and there will be none like him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bring before you today every man, woman, boy and girl under the sound of my voice today. Help us, Lord, to surrender our all to Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the cross in which you took away our sin and died so that we could live again. Thank you for the resurrection, power. And Lord, I pray today for salvation. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray, dear Lord, through your mighty touch, your hand upon your children. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And I know that you will see them through by the power of the blood of the Lamb. We also pray for the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to rest and abide with each one for now and until we meet again. And all of God's people said...
For more information about Faith Center Ministries International, call our offices on 031-464-5839. That's 031-464-5839. Or visit us at 341 Stella Road, Malvern.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.